We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us. And pray that in your grace and love and mercy you will open our hearts and make them receptive to this Word, and that you will reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior. We pray this in his name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. To kind of set the stage here, a New Testament parallel, the woman of Canaan. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Overcoming one obstacle after another. And now we go back to Song of Solomon chapter 3, verse 1. The bride talking. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Then what? Now verse 2. I will arise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Taking the kingdom by force. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Standing out in the wilderness, and thousands and thousands of people flocked out to hear him and to see him. Because John the Baptist broke 400 years of silence. God had been silent for 400 years, had not spoken to the people through prophets except what was written. And now all of a sudden, the silence was broken and the people responded. And then Jesus continued, For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And now this mysterious verse. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Truth, not all violence is bad. There is a violence that is good. The Canaanite woman had it. The bride here, the Song of Solomon, has it. And every elect child of God has it. This good violence overcomes every obstacle in the way in order to come to Jesus Christ. Sometimes these obstacles are put in the way by the devil under God's control to keep the bride from her bridegroom. Other times the obstacles are put there by the Lord God himself to strengthen the faith of the bride and give her great blessings. We now look at the bride of Jesus Christ here in Song of Songs, and we see her overcoming obstacles. Obstacle number one was last week. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. She didn't quit. Now today, I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets, in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. So, twice here in these opening verses, we see the bride is seeking for her bridegroom, and twice the outcome is the same. I sought him, but I found him not. But she didn't give up. First she sought him by night on my bed. When that failed, she moved into the city. Looking at some of the details, she says, I will arise now and go about the city. Well, what city is she talking about? Everyone who is acquainted with scriptures knows. She doesn't have to name the city. We know what city it was. To the Jewish rabbis, geography was rather simple. There was the land, and then there was those who were outside of the land. The land was the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey that God gave to the children of Israel. That was the land. Anything else was being outside the land. And if you were in the land, you were blessed beyond words. If you were outside the land, you were nothing. If you were in the land, there was one city that was the crown gem of the whole thing, and that was Jerusalem. And that's the city that the bride now is going out into the streets and broadways of the city of Jerusalem. I will rise now and go about the city. Okay. In the Old Testament, Jerusalem is almost worshipped. Think of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, because the house of the Lord our God, of the house of the Lord thy God, I will seek thy good. Jerusalem, the city of our God. Psalm 48, verse 2, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Three times every year, many of the people of God migrated to Jerusalem to keep feasts unto the Lord. It didn't get any better than Jerusalem. And if you were born in Jerusalem and you lived there, you were blessed beyond words. New Testament, Jerusalem in Revelation. And you'll see right away the connection with Song of Songs here. Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And here we have the bride seeking for her bridegroom. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. She went to the right place to do it. Continuing in Revelation 21, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's what makes Jerusalem so good. God dwelt there. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a blessing it was to dwell in Jerusalem. Revelation 21, selected verses. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, and like unto clear glass. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We can see why the bride would go into the city to seek for her beloved. Sadly, there's another side to this coin. Jerusalem did not always remain the city of God. It was overtaken by the wicked ones. Old Testament type, Nimrod the rebel. Back in Genesis 10, verse 6 and following, the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Put and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Sheba and Havilah and Sabta and Raamah and Sabtikshah. And the sons of Raamah, Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. The word Nimrod means the rebel, the rebellious one. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. The word before can be translated against. Let's translate it that way. He was a mighty hunter against the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter against the Lord. What was he hunting? And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Elked, and Kelna in the land of Shinar. These were cities. People dwelt in cities, and the rebel conquered them and controlled them. And the whole earth was of one language in 11, Genesis 11, in one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. That connects this incident with Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." God had told them to do that, spread abroad and repopulate the whole earth. They said, "We're not going to do it. We're going to build a city. We're going to live around that city. We're going to build a tower there, lest we be spread abroad." And you know the rest of the story. Jerusalem has been changed. New Testament, Revelation 17, verse 3. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy and having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name written, not Jerusalem anymore, the name is changed. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." This is now the city where the bride is going to search for the bridegroom. "I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets, and in the broad place ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Is it any wonder?" Revelation 18, "After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed great through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." So, beautiful Jerusalem is not the city of our God anymore. And the bride finds herself now in great danger, and this thought will be carried out certainly in the following verse, God willing, next week, unless the Son of God comes back first. Notice the description. "I will go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways." Old Testament, Genesis chapter 19. "There came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of the city," gate of Sodom. "And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. But they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." They're going to stay all night in the street. And he pressed them greatly. "Don't do that." And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed a house round about, both old and young, the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Homosexuality, sodomy, the word has come down to our own generation after all the hundreds of years. The message is this: streets can be very, very dangerous places. And that's where the bride is. "I will arise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways." Son of God, Matthew 7, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." And then the next verse the Son of God spoke was this: "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Keep this verse in mind. Keep this whole section in mind when next week the bride is found by the watchman. Remember that. So for the second time, the bride fails to find the one she's searching for. "I sought him whom my soul loveth, but I found him not." Remember Psalm 77, verse 2. "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted." This is exactly the position that the bride is in right now. It is not an unusual condition. Every elect child of God can relate to this at one time or another. And every one of us can say with Jacob, "All these things are against me." It seemed like the wheels were coming off the wagon. Nothing was going right. Absolutely nothing. Jacob had a rough life, a rough home life. His children fought against each other. The others hated his favorite son, Joseph, wanted to kill him, ended up throwing him into a pit, sold him as a slave down into Egypt. So as far as Jacob was concerned, he thought his son was dead, never would see him again. Then Joseph's brother, Benjamin, that's what all Jacob had to hang on to. And when there was a famine in the land, he sent his other children down there, but he kept Benjamin at home. "Go down there and buy food for us so we don't starve to death." So they did that. They were questioned down there, and the one questioning them, whom they didn't recognize, but it was Joseph, if they found out that there was another brother that hadn't come along. And the powerful man of Egypt said, "You come back next time. Next time you bring your brother Benjamin, if he's not along, you're not going to get to see me." So they went down and told Jacob that. Well, they didn't want Benjamin to go. Finally, they didn't have any food anymore. And he said, well, you'll go down and get some more food. They said, we can't go unless we take Benjamin. The guy told us, you don't bring Benjamin. You don't get to see me. You don't get any food. We got to take Benjamin. And so finally, Jacob had to let Benjamin go. And then he said, all these things are against me. Well, when he said this, it was true. It seemed to be true to him. But God had a plan, and Jacob was very, very close to being reunited again with that beloved son whom all these years he thought was dead. So there's a lesson here. It's always darkest before dawn. And when it looks to us like all these things are against us, and it seems like we can't find the one whom our soul loves, loveth, no matter how hard we search for him, we end up empty. When it seems that way, it's not true. It's not true. We'd better look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. Listen to the words of Job. I'm in chapter 23, verses 8 and 9. Job speaking, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. Notice he's using the word, I don't behold him, I can't see him. Well, you're looking with human eyes instead of the eye of faith, because the next verse says this, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So, as destitute as it looks for the bride of Christ here in Song of Solomon chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and it will go over into 3 also, she is being richly blessed. The branch is being pruned so that it may bring forth much fruit. And the more she searches for him without finding him, the closer she's getting to a tremendous blessing. The truth here can be summed up in the words that we know so well, if we only believe them. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But as you know by now, the word ask, seek, and knock are repetitive words in the Greek language. And the thought is, keep on asking, and ye shall receive. Don't quit. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened unto you. But you got to keep on with it. You can't quit. The door's not going to be opened for the woman in verse 3 either. And the one that she seeks, she'll not find in verse 3 either. But she will in the next verse. There is a violence that is a good violence to have. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. That's the kind of violence that we find here in Song of Solomon chapter 3 with the bride. And that's the kind of violence that you and I have to have.